Welcome to Radio Oldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. This is a recording from the monthly Oldie Literary Lunch at the National Liberal Club. To book a ticket, please go to www.theoldie.co.uk/lunches.
We've got three fantastic speakers today. Our first is a great Oldie contributor. Isenda Maxson-Graham has written wonderful books, including Jobs for the Girls, How We Set Out to Work in the Typewriter Age, British Summertime Begins, The School Summer Holidays, 1930-1980. Terrific book, Terms and Conditions, Life in Girls' Boarding Schools, 1939-1979. And she's here to speak about Screams, Shrieks of Horror and Yelps of Pleasure from Modern Life. Ladies and gentlemen, Isenda Maxson-Graham.
Hello, I'm very, very nice to be here. Thank you so much for that nice introduction, Harry. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Good. Well, I bet quite a few of us on our way here today have seen something that doesn't look right. But did we get around to reporting our sighting to the British Transport Police? I guess we probably didn't, because seeing something that doesn't look right happens about 3 times an hour these days to any of us with fastidious standards. There wouldn't be time to report each one. And even if we did see it and say it, we know for certain it would not be sorted. By the way, a Latin teacher friend of mine recently gave me the Latin translation for see it, say it, sorted, with all the correct grammar, the imperatives and the participle. Apparently it's vide, dic, rectum. Well, I'm not talking here about spotting mysterious unattended baggage or, God forbid, men brandishing knives, which were generally terrifying, and our thoughts and prayers go out to the people who happened to be on the 6:25 from Doncaster to London on Saturday evening. No, I'm talking about small things which annoy us and needle away at our daily joie de vivre, such as those piles of discarded Lime bikes lying on their sides on the pavement, and which seem to take up as much space as a whole herd of dead cows. And I'm talking about those miniature squirty fish-shaped soy sauce bottles that you see in the gutter, casually discarded by an affluent takeaway sushi guzzler. And I'm talking about those orange plastic non-benches you're meant to lean against in railway stations that are too mean to provide proper benches to sit on. And I'm talking about those incomprehensible instructions that suddenly appear on our card digital screen. A new code must be entered for this data transfer. What on earth does that mean? And I'm talking about the man in front of you on the pavement who's walking two dogs and has got AirPods in both his ears so he can't hear you trying to get past. And I'm talking about the damp, dirty, cotton woolly, Halloween-y cobwebs drooping from privet hedges a week after Halloween. It was tiny irritations like this that inspired my book called Screams, Shrieks of Horror and Yelps of Pleasure from Modern Life. I collected a year's worth of small irritations that make me and perhaps all of us go through the day in a state of barely suppressed rage. And the brilliant cartoonist Nick Newman, beloved of Oldie readers, did a cartoon for each month encapsulating one of the shrieks. One was of a harassed-looking woman on a railway platform looking up at a digital signboard which said, next irritation, 2 minutes. Too right. Now, I'm not quite sure whether my sharing of these many shrieks of horror makes the world a happier place or an unhappier place. Is an annoyance shared, an annoyance halved, or an annoyance doubled? I like to think that by analysing my fury at, say, the bewildering complications of other people's recycling rules, or the way people boast about their word or score, actually might make readers feel a bit less lonely when they too feel that they want to scream at such moments. Also, perhaps if you manage to spend a few hours every day being infuriated by tiny annoyances, it anaesthetises you against worrying yourself sick about the world's bigger problems. Well, for my talk today, I've collected three new screams for 2025. I thought you might enjoy them. The first one is this. Is anyone as annoyed as I am by the new style of lid?
Yes!
Yes! Due to an EU ruling of mid-2024, every plastic bottle in Europe now has to be tethered, as it's called, to the lid, to the rest of the bottle. I thought we'd left the EU, but it doesn't seem to have made any difference. If you try to wrench this lid off the bottle when you buy it, you cause mass spillage. But see what happens when you try to drink from it with the lid tethered. You have to drink out of the side of your mouth, causing water to spill down your front. I noted the way my husband tries to replace the tethered lid of the orange juice bottle after lunch. He sort of bangs it down, hoping it'll sort of go across the threads, but it doesn't seem to work. Well, I think the EU's aim was to make there be less litter in the world. But who in the old days ever used to throw away a lid on its own? I can't see how anyone would have done that. Either we kept the whole bottle and the lid, or you threw away the both parts, didn't you? So that's screen number one. Screen number two is about digital radios. For years, you've been able to turn the dial one single click to the right to go from Radio 3 to Radio 4. I'm sure lots of us in this room spend our days gliding back and forth between those two very civilised radio stations, switching seamlessly from one to the other when either is not at its best, such as during the Life Scientific. But suddenly, an interloper has appeared. To get from Radio 3 to Radio 4, you now have to go via Radio 3 Unwind. And as the journalist Nicholas Lezard succinctly put it recently, I hate to say it, but Radio 3 Unwind winds me up. It certainly does. It's an unending sequence of soft music, day and night, that you can't listen to without feeling forced to think, this is supposed to be making me unwind, but it's not working. So that's screen number two. Screen number three, mispronunciations on Audible. I don't know how many of you listen to books on Audible. For me, it's a new craze, actually. I'm a regular book reviewer, so I have to read a physical book from cover to cover once a week. Listening to Audible while walking the spaniel is my way of getting other books into my brain and soul without having to pass through my eyes. And I'm an admirer of the readers who do all the hard work. But there don't seem to be high enough standards of pronunciation checking. And I must say, a bad mispronunciation can ruin the experience. Here are three from the last month. Dorothy L. Sayers' Strong Poison, I'm sure we all love that book, is nicely narrated by Jane McDowell, who comes across as elegant and well-educated. But then... my water's spinning. But then you suddenly hear her saying, he was a Balliol man. Balliol? Has she never even heard of the Oxford College? I'm afraid my confidence in her reading ability plummeted at that moment. And then, narrating John Mullen's excellent book called What Matters in Jane Austen, the narrator Charles Armstrong calls Captain Benwick. Surely that's wrong. And then my son, listening to a book about the history of football, as he does, told me the narrator kept calling Juventus. Even I, who am not at all a football fanatic, know that its nickname is Juve, but the narrator kept saying Juve. Toby had to stop listening. Now, a few yelps of pleasure are scattered about in italics across my book screens. You'll notice them because they are in italics. They're the small delights of modern life, which give us a tingle of pleasure. One is the bliss of defying the sat-nav, refusing to go the way it tells you. That always sends it into a huge strop. It downgrades your expected arrival time and keeps instructing you to do a U-turn, but you keep refusing. And eventually, you bend it to your will, and you arrive 4 minutes earlier than it originally predicted. What a triumph. I've got you one new Yelp of pleasure for 2025. It may be familiar to anyone who uses Instagram. It's watching road sign cleaning videos. You know those filthy, grimy, crusty road signs on A-roads saying things like Northampton 19? Well, a man called Liam the Sign Guy travels around the country filming himself cleaning those signs with a marvellous broom-shaped mop that gushes copious water. Watching it is a sensuous pleasure. My favourite part is when he goes round the sign for the second time, putting the finishing touches on the job, leaving it spotless. Modern life does have its yelps of pleasure. Thank goodness. Well, briefly, before I end, I'd like to mention my debut novella, which was published last week by the excellent publishers Slightly Foxed. It's called Love Divine. And it's set in a contemporary Church of England parish in an imaginary leafy suburb of West London during an interregnum. An interregnum almost as long as the one we've all just sat through, waiting for them to decide who's going to be the new Archbishop of Canterbury. But I promise you that although it may contain hymns, Love Divine is not too churchy a novella. It's about a group of people who happen to live within a 2-mile radius of their parish church. There are decidedly secular things going on as well as sacred ones. The whole thing takes place within a single calendar year. One of my favourite characters, Hugh Goth, sums up the paucity of parish church facilities towards the beginning of the novel. He sees people queuing to go to the loo and thinks, one church, one faith, one loo. But that is all about to change, as you'll see. I would love you to read it. It's available not from Amazon, but it's available from Slightly Foxed's website or from good bookshops such as our lovely Hatchards. I do hope you enjoy it, and it certainly looks divine. Thank you very, very much.
You have been listening to Radio Aldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. Why not get 3 trial issues of the Aldie magazine for just £1? Sure you'll enjoy it. We'll then charge you £25.75 for every 6 issues. Just go to checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial as one word in capitals. That's checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial.